This time on Compassion Radio.
He pointed to that and he said, "No Biblia?" And the other lady said, "Oh, that's where we keep our beds, our luggage and stuff," which was true. And he said, "Okay." And then he shut the door and that was it. We had actually had the things in the floor, and they wouldn't even tell the people on the trip before where the things were hidden. So we really didn't know exactly where they were hidden, and we didn't say yes or no. We just told them that compartment was for something else. Anyway, God just protected us, and we went through, and there were just so many times we saw God's hand protecting us and directing us when it seemed like we weren't accomplishing our task.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram connects with pastor's wife, worship leader, missionary, and experienced Bible smuggler, Cindy Woodward. They'll be talking about her many adventures in the mission field and how God's great faithfulness brought her through when things got really tough in her life. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for part one of their conversation. Here's Bram.
On Compassion Radio today, I'm happy to introduce somebody who's dear to me and is going to be a dear friend of Compassion Radio listeners, I'm sure. Cindy Woodward from High Point, North Carolina. Welcome to Compassion Radio.
Hi, Bram. It's so great to be here.
And full disclosure here, you and I met doing missions work back in the early 80s. We saw a lot of the world that many people back then never got to see. And at the same time, we built a strong friendship. The reason I'm speaking to you is because of our friendship. But the thing I want to talk with you about is your experience. And you have under your belt something I have never even done, which is literal under the radar kind of Bible smuggling that we talk about a lot on this program. You've done it. And I want to go back into your history and see what it was that brought you to that particular ministry, how it happened at that time, and what the spiritual fruits of that are in your life even today. Can we go there?
Yes, that would be great.
All right. Now, we're talking about the early 80s. Now, you and I traveled behind the Iron Curtain. We did a lot of music ministries, which were more open and public because people actually would buy tickets to come see the concerts. But we were doing other ministry with the churches underground, and that inspired you to do something even more brave that I was not expecting. So tell me about that change in you.
Well, it really started when I was a child. I would read the Christian kind of comic books that were about God's smuggler, and then I read God's smuggler and Brother Andrew and all the things that God did and their ministry behind the Iron Curtain way earlier than the 80s.
Right.
And I just remember one of his prayers was, "God, you made blind eyes see. Now make these seeing eyes blind," as he was smuggling boxes of Bibles in his back seat across the border and they wouldn't see him. So I just think the testimonies of God's amazing faithfulness and protection that grabbed my heart even as a child. And so I've always had that interest and desire to do something like that. And I'm sure that's one reason why I chose that tour in the 80s where you and I met, because it went into Poland and behind the Iron Curtain. God allowed some difficulties in my life after you and I met that I kind of just was ready to get out of town and do something ministry-wise and missions-wise that would take me out of where I was. So I contacted Brother Andrew's ministry because that's where I felt connected, but they needed a year commitment, and I wasn't really wanting to do a whole year. I was just wanting to do a whole summer.
Isn't it interesting, Cindy, how when we get that seed of interest and it grows into something, I want to sidetrack here just for 1 second to talk about the power of story, because you are now interested in pursuing something and going places because you read a story. And it happened to be a very true story. And Brother Andrew's been a great friend of the ministry over the years here at Compassion Radio. And Norm and he traveled together a number of times into deep territory in the middle of the Muslim conflicts in the West Bank and in Gaza. They traveled together.
Oh, wow.
So there was a seed planted in Norm, who is my predecessor here at Compassion Radio, that transformed the ministry. So the same person that stirred in his heart stirred in yours. But of course, when you go about the practical things, you start looking for opportunities. And then in your case, you thought, God's not calling me to an entire year. But you never would have gotten to that point had you not heard the story of how God had used one man to bring the gospel to a whole people.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just amazing how God works. What you would think in significant ways that directly impact your trajectory for your life, you know. So his ministry directed me to another ministry, and it was based in Holland, in the Netherlands, and they were looking for short-term people. So I went with them. I went all by myself, carrying tons of luggage.
This is just a little girl from northern Mississippi on her way to Europe.
Yes. With my pillow in my hand. So I made it, and we couldn't even tell our families exactly where we were. We were in a little tiny village, and we could tell them the city that was sort of nearby. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't even tell my parents where I was. I was there for 3 months, and the first month I was part of the household help that would serve as the short-term trips and the people coming in for short-term, and even saw God do some amazing things in that time. And then the next 2 months, I took trips into what was then Czechoslovakia and into Hungary, which were still behind the Iron Curtain. Four of us would go in. We were just supposed to appear as tourists tooling around Europe, and I don't know why they didn't think it was suspicious, because we were from all over the country, and these four random people stuck together in all ages. And this lady that was much older than me, and then two guys that were around my age, and just thought, they've got to be confused. Why are they not searching? Mm. But anyway, we would decide as a team what we wanted to do when we got to the border check. One time we were pulling a pop-up camper, and one time we were in a little travel trailer camper. And we decided as a team both times that we would not lie if we were asked outright if we had Bibles or Christian literature. We just wanted God to protect us, but we didn't feel like it was right for us to lie. We had to stop before we got to the border and straighten up our camper, because if it was really neat and straight, they would tear it up looking for things.
Yeah.
If they looked, they would find it, because they were trained to do that. But if we didn't appear suspicious, then there would be no need for them, you know, their alarm bells to go off and then to search.
Right.
We had to stop way ahead of the border, though, because they had listening devices that a certain distance they could hear us if we'd stopped and talked and redid things. So we did that, and we got to the border, and the lady and I were sitting in the back of the camper, and a soldier opened the door. He pointed up to the top part of the bed where it's over the driver's seat, you know. He pointed to that, and he said, "No Biblia?" And, of course, I didn't understand what he said. And the other lady said, "Oh, that's where we keep our beds, our luggage and stuff," which was true. And he said, "Okay," and then he shut the door, and that was it. We had actually had the things in the floor, and they wouldn't even tell the people on the trip before where the things were hidden. So we really didn't know exactly where they were hidden, and we didn't say yes or no. We just told them that compartment was for something else. Anyway, God just protected us, and we went through, and there were just so many times we saw God's hand protecting us and directing us when it seemed like we weren't accomplishing our task.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Up next, more with our guest, Cindy Woodward. And then later on, Bram's wife, Sandy, will join him to help wrap things up. Stay with us.
A survey a while back revealed that the average household in America has 4.4 Bibles in it, with some homes containing 6, 7, 8, or even more copies of God's Word. And that's wonderful. But did you know that there are places in the world where people have never even seen a Bible? That means they are literally starving for the essential life-giving power of the Scriptures. As you may also know, we've done many successful Bible projects over the years at Compassion Radio. This has helped to place over 500,000 of them with believers, pastors, and evangelists. We are so excited to tell you about our Compassion Radio Bibles Project. For the first time ever, Compassion Radio and this campaign are being underwritten so that every single dollar raised for Bibles goes to that project. Think about that. It's the biggest matching gift challenge we've ever offered at Compassion Radio, and there is no limit to this offer. The more you give, the more goes to the field and the front lines of gospel outreach. So please, pray big with us about this, and then act exactly as the Lord shows you. Make this challenge known to your family and friends. Talk to your pastor, your Sunday school class, small group, or home fellowship. Bring it to your benevolence or missions committee. Pray about where the Lord might have you share this unique opportunity. Let's saturate the world with God's Word like never before. If you'd like to help place a Bible or a Gospel of John into the hands of someone who has never seen the Word of God before and wants it in the countries of India, Nepal, and China, please contact us right now. The number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also give at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word Bibles to 53445. That's Bibles to 53445. And you can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Just be sure to put Bibles Project in the memo on your check. Thank you so very much for anything you can do to help us in our efforts to get the Word of God out to those who need it and want it the most. God bless.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
There were just so many times we saw God's hand protecting us and directing us when it seemed like we weren't accomplishing our task. One time we kept trying to make contact with the couple and they were never home, and we had to keep going. We had other people to see. In our last effort to go to them, the plan was to make contact with them and then arrange a meeting time to transfer the Bibles and the Christian literature to them. Well, this time it was our last chance to try to contact them. So we just carried the stuff with us. And I remember being in this little mountain village and carrying shopping bags that were full of Christian literature covered with towels. And I'm thinking, you know, anybody could just stop us. And it was dark. And I thought, I'm breaking the law and my daddy would be so proud. That was the thought that was going through my head. Even though we were scared, you hear a dog bark, you jump, and there were two little ladies sitting there, you know, kind of like the spies of the village. And anyway, and they told us, try not to look American, but there's no way you could even walk in a place like that and not look American, because just the light in your eyes was different than their oppression in their eyes. Anyway, we went to this couple's house, and it was an older couple. They just radiated Jesus. Mm. They were hiding refugees from Romania that was going through an ethnic cleansing at the time, and they were right on the border. So they were hiding people, believers or not, it didn't matter. They were just helping people to get away.
Cindy, let me hold you right there and just kind of get the context again. You're going over to do a project, which is to bring Bibles and Christian literature to some of the underground churches of the countries that you had some access to. And now you're kind of caught up in geopolitics. There's a lot of things happening at the same time that are not just about the Christian church, but they involve the Christian church. And the church was the underground railroad happening between a number of these satellite countries of the Soviet Union at the time, protecting people of conscience, not even necessarily just Christians, but people who were trying to escape persecution of all sorts for different reasons.
Right. Just for their ethnicity.
Right. And during those years, especially in Romania, there was a huge ethnic cleansing going on. They were driving the Roma out, and they were killing off children, and all kinds of gross and grotesque things were happening in those countries that was being hidden.
Yeah, we were not told about all of that. Here.
And there it was in your face. So because the people that you work with were the ones that were always on the front lines of faith, they were involved in many things. So they're helping you with your project to get the word of God out. They were also rescuing orphans and street people out of Romania and getting them to safer places, hopefully smuggling them to the West where they'd have a chance at getting asylum. These are busy people.
Yeah.
You find yourself in the midst of that, and now you're just one of many things that God's up to during those years in the Eastern Bloc. I just want to set the picture there for our listeners that this is more than just one issue.
Yeah, so they would use that material for them, too, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, anything they could do.
These people you are now camped out with become the next link in the chain of getting the Bibles and the materials to the churches?
Yes, I'm not really sure exactly. We weren't really told a lot. We had to memorize their names, their addresses, and some identifying facts and things about them, because we couldn't take anything written down. So we would have two of us memorize the same things about the same people, you know, so we overlapped. So at least two people knew about everything, but we weren't really told a lot about what they were doing. We did know that they were helping these people escaping Romania, and we probably were endangering them and what they were doing just by trying to make contact with them. But they were so gracious, and of course, they gave us tea, and for some reason, I remember hard-boiled eggs, and I don't know what else they gave us, but just so sweet and so grateful. And they had just gotten back from holiday, I believe. I just felt like we were in the presence of true sainthood when we were with them. I still sort of remember gray-haired lady with glasses and just the kindest, sweetest face, and just radiated Jesus and love and kindness.
Let me ask you what it means to radiate Jesus, because you had that experience. You were in the presence of that. It's not a hollow phrase. It's just one that we can't really put our Mm-mm. fingers on. Mm-mm. Can you think of anything Mm-mm. particular about the way they radiated or what it was about them? You said, I know this is Jesus.
It was coming from their eyes, really. Her smile, it was so deep and genuine. She just stands out to me. So much self-sacrifice that had to be. It's those things that you don't know the facts about someone, but you can't help but see it. It's something that's hard to describe or explain, because I think it's more of an understood thing instead of a visual thing.
We'll hear more from our guest, Cindy Woodward, next time on Compassion Radio. Right now, here's Bram and his wife, Sandy, to wrap things up for us.
I'd like to bring Sandy into the studio with me as we close off this particular episode. Now, we've talked about missional living a lot. This program is what we're all about, actually. And the people we talk about are people that are really heroes to us. The person you met today, Cindy Woodward, is one of our personal heroes and a personal friend. Sandy, thanks for taking a couple minutes to talk about this program with us.
Oh, I'm delighted to do that.
Now, Cindy shows what happens when you're willing to go places that you were inspired to go as a young child, and they seem almost like pipe dreams, but then God makes it possible for you to do that. And she came back to tell the tale when the chances were pretty high to be found out and maybe even jailed or restrained or cause some danger for people who are involved with ministry in these closed countries at the time.
I think that's probably what their biggest fear was, that they would bring harm to the people they were going to serve.
But she went, and God did protect them, and they accomplished their goal, not in the ways they expected to. And we'll hear more about that in the days to come. But I want to ask you, hon, about preparing for missions even today. Now, we have had kids that have gone on mission trips many times, and not just to do basic things, but they've actually gone and done some pretty difficult things in countries like Honduras, in Eastern Europe, in Africa, and in India. They felt the call of God directly, not just because it was part of our family culture. How do you prepare your kids to understand what they're going to be facing if they decide to say yes to God?
Well, I'm not really sure that you can completely prepare them for what may or may not happen when they're on the field, when they choose to follow the call of God. I don't know that any of us can be completely prepared for that, even in our own lives. I think the main thing that has been part of the culture of our family is that we have encouraged our children to look outside themselves and to see the world around them. Now, our girls are great at that. And when they were younger in high school, they began to work with a ministry in our church that went and served breakfast and lunch to homeless people in Austin, Texas. And they loved doing that. And our oldest son has been involved with missions in our church, and he loves it. He's musical, and he enjoys contributing that to the mission trips that he goes on, but he also enjoys just being involved and working, and he's a hard worker when he goes. But I think the thing that resonates with me about what Cindy has said is that when she was a little girl, probably before missions even really crossed her mind, she began to read stories, and her parents were reading stories to her about missionaries and about people working in other countries. She grew to love those stories. Those stories are adventurous. They're exciting. Some don't have happy endings, but they're real stories. That's a key thing about training your children or preparing your children for a life that's called out.
And we're talking about hero stories. Hero worship has always been part of every culture, I would think. Our culture has been previously about sports, and now it's about superheroes. We have an entire media canon just full of these movies about superheroes saving the planet. It's the zeitgeist of our time. People are always thinking about what kind of savior do we need. Kids have always looked up to superheroes. And for the faith, we really do have superheroes, but we have realistic ones too. Mm-hmm. They're doing supernatural things, but they're not doing it in ways that could only be done by becoming a god themselves. Mm-hmm. They become heroes because they depend upon a God who is able and does. Those stories can be found, even just digging around on Barnes & Noble shelves or on Amazon. There are all kinds of histories and biographies of missionaries in the past. And if you need some recommendations, you know, write us here at Compassion Radio. So I would encourage people to look those stories up. Spend time finding out what God's been doing through heroes of the faith in the past generations and those who are emerging now that are engaging the big questions of their time. Mm-hmm. And of course, every day on Compassion Radio, we're trying to bring some of those real life contemporary stories to you, helping you to meet the people who are writing those stories in their lives and on the field of witness.
Sometimes as parents, we want to protect them by not allowing them to watch the news, shielding them from current events. that is not beneficial to them. We have to be wise about what we do share with them. For instance, recently we listened to a podcast that was put on by Calvin College, and the young woman speaking was a Syrian refugee. And I had our 10-year-old listen to it with us. He was moved by it. It upset him to know that her home in Aleppo, Syria, was completely destroyed. He was disturbed by that. And at first I thought, oh dear, what have we done? That could be not good for him for the rest of the day. He might be upset. But throughout the day, he asked me several questions about this girl's family and how did they find water? How did they find food? What happened to them? And their story has somewhat of a happy ending in that they were able to get out of Syria. But I made it clear to him that there are many who did not and who are not able to get out of that desperate situation. I think it's important for him to know that he understands there are people in the world who are in great need, and we have the ability to do something about it and to help them.
And the things that we've engaged in to do to help the world are somewhat unique in the realm of Christian mission, because we're focused a lot on empowering leaders where they are to bring the Word of God to change lives. I think the story I read this morning of a young Nepali woman and her two children who died of exposure just yesterday.
Right.
Because she was on a forced sabbatical, because she was on her monthly. And in that particular tribal tradition, which was Hindu, she was banished from her own home, no matter what time of year it was. This happened to be in the middle of winter in the Himalayas. She was sent out with her young children to go sleep in a hut away from the house because she was unclean. Mm-hmm. And because of that, she froze to death. It happens every year there because this tradition continues. And my first response was, it has to stop. It has to stop now. And there are many organizations that are working very hard legally and through human rights agencies to make the practice stop. But I've also talked to missionaries who have said the biggest thing we can do to see this danger to children and women end is to bring them the Word of God. Because it transforms people's understandings of what is true and what the gods want of us.
And what's valuable.
And who is valuable.
Who is valuable.
They transform their whole outlook from the inside out, not being forced by an outside entity to change a practice when you still believe things or still left to believe things that are traditional and tribal and are based on a religion that worships demons, but transform from the inside out with a new savior, a new lover of your soul that changes your worth. And because of that, people that hear this truth change their behavior. Mm-hmm. They no longer fear what these superstitions might do to them.
Right.
It is healthier and safer for people to know the truth about how much God loves them. Mm. And I thought about that again. We're involved with that very campaign right now to bring Bibles to Nepal and to Western China and to Northern India, to many of these tribal lands where these kind of superstitions still prevail with horrible consequences at times. Our perspective is, let those on the secular side that are engaged in those legal and moral questions do their job. Mm-hmm. For us, we're going to equip the church to do its job to win souls. And when people are transformed, they're going to stop behaviors that are harmful to young children and women.
I think you're right about that. I think that the more they know the truth, the more they are set free. Mm. And the Word of God is that truth that will absolutely set them free.
You've been hearing a lot about that this past month and a half, and our program for Bibles for China, for Nepal, for Northern India is still going. And it's something that is still being match granted by people who want to help you give as much as you can, so the dollars you put to this program will go directly to the Bibles program that we're talking about. So I encourage you to do that. Tomorrow we're going to come back and hear more about the adventure of being willing to be a mule for the gospel, being a Bible smuggler in Eastern Europe back in the 1980s, with our guest today, which was Cindy Woodward. Look forward to seeing you then.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, well, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a few minutes to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast has been a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work that God is doing through this ministry. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can visit CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to make your giving super easy, well, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And of course, you can always write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, it's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. We are very, very thankful for you. Please be sure to join us again next time for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.